Hello, Stuart, Jodie and Casper the dog back again for I don't know how many weeks now. It's about 6 or 7. You begin to lose track about how many weeks we've been recording these sermons. Just a note before we start, because it's the first Sunday or will be the first Sunday of the month, we'll be celebrating communion. So if you want to do that, go and get a piece of bread and a cup of wine or red cordial or whatever liquid substitute you might want, because we'll be celebrating communion together after the sermon. Without further ado, I'll hand over to Jodie and she'll do our scripture reading, which is from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 1 to 10.
The Good Shepherd and His Sheep. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him, because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full."
Let us pray. Lord, we pray that you will take these words of scripture and the words that I say and speak and minister to those who are listening to this recording. You are not limited by time and space or means of communication, and we pray that your Holy Spirit of communication would touch and open our hearts and minds to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's Friday morning, and since we recorded our last sermon last Friday, I now have 3 funerals on my horizon. It feels a darker and more dangerous place, and the reality of death is sinking in for me with COVID deaths or indirect COVID deaths. So it is good to be reminded from our reading today that we have a good shepherd who is the gateway to life in all its fullness, both now and on into eternity. In this passage, Jesus is mixing his metaphors of shepherds and gates. He refers to 2 different types of sheepfold. And you wonder, if he did a bit of shepherding as a child, perhaps he looked after the sheep with his friends as a young child. He certainly seems to be speaking from first-hand experience. The first sheepfold he refers to is a communal one with a strong door, which would be used more in the winter in the villages or towns where they lived, where there is a gatekeeper opening the door for him. In verse 3 it says, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him. And then it goes on to say that the sheep listen to his voice when he calls them out, name, and leads them out. Now, I've no experiencing of shepherding, but have read in commentaries when I'm preparing for this sermon how sheep do respond to their shepherd's call. And it talks about Middle Eastern shepherds, and they didn't have sheepdogs. They just used to throw stones near the sheep and call them to make them go in the directions they needed to go. And they would listen and respond to the call of their shepherds, who knew them, because in Jesus's day, the shepherd, The sheep weren't used so much for eating, it was more for the wool. So the shepherds would have known them for years and years and would know each one of them, give each one of them pet names and know them well. So they would listen to the voice of their shepherd and not to the call of strangers. I can sort of apply this to the experience of looking after a dog. As you know, we've been looking after Casper, my in-law's dog, since they went to South Africa, and also subsequently, because we've not been able to get the dog back to them. And he responds well to our voices when me and Jody are out walking to him and we call for him, call him Casper, and he responds to what we say and comes. And we've only had him for a few months. And yes, we've had him before when the in-laws have gone away for short spells to South Africa or wherever. But he still responds to us. Imagine if he was a dog that you'd had all your life and you know him well, he would always respond to you. And that's a bit of a relationship between the shepherd and his sheep, that he knows the voice of Pat, my in-law, probably better, and Melvin, my father-in-law, when they call him, I'm sure he responds even better than he responds to me and Jody. We have a sense here of familiarity of the voice of the shepherd calling his sheep. And we also have the shepherd who calls out to us and calls us by name, knows us intimately, knows us inside and out, and he cares for us too. And then Jesus changes the metaphor from being a shepherd to being a gate. Obviously, we don't take these metaphors literally. Jesus isn't literally a gate, but it's a good picture or metaphor to say something that speaks into our lives of his truth. And here he's referring to a hillside sheepfold that would be in the summer, where the shepherd lies down at the entrance to keep the sheep in and safe from predators. He puts himself at great risk to protect his sheep from thieves and robbers, from wolves and bears and predators. He literally lies in the gateway where there wasn't a gate, there was just a hole. He lies over that gateway to keep the sheep in, to keep them safe, and also to be on the lookout for any thieves or robbers or any predators like wolves and bears. So it's a good image or metaphor to have of Jesus as he puts himself in danger to protect us. And we know that Jesus went the whole way in protecting us, that he even laid down his life. In verse 11, it says, "I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And we know that Jesus laid down his life for us. He died for us that we might be reconciled to God, so that he might defeat death and sin and bring us safely through them into God's presence. And now, as risen Lord, he still looks out for us to protect us from danger. That doesn't mean we'll be protected from death or even from catching the virus, because Christians can catch that too. But he protects us ultimately from the full consequences of death, that he has defeated death. And even if we die, we will enter into God's presence in and through him. But I think we also need to protect ourselves at the moment. We need to continue to stay at home when we can, only go out for our exercise or shopping, or if we're key workers, we have to go out. I think in the last few weeks, it looks like people have been relaxing a bit in relation to the restrictions. And we've got to watch, because we may have a second surge, or we might think, oh, we've passed the peak and get slovenly at this time. But we need to be vigilant and to stay at home and to protect ourselves at this time. The sheep were safe in the sheepfold, and we are safe, or safer, in our homes at the moment. Although not everyone's safe in their homes. I was thinking, I was reading something about levels of domestic violence have gone up worldwide at this time when people are enclosed. And we think of men and especially women who are the victims of violence in homes at this time. And we pray and think of them. Jesus refers to himself again as the gate. And in verse 9, he says, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved." Whoever enters through Jesus will be saved. We are saved through Jesus. We enter into God's kingdom in and through him. He is the gate that is open to all. That gate is an open gate. But have we entered in and through the gate? Jesus is saying to you, especially if you've not responded to his call to come and follow him, to accept him as Lord and Savior, he's saying to you, come in through me. Come and enter God's presence. Come enjoy God's salvation. The gate is open. Come on in. In verse 10, it says, the thief comes only to kill and to destroy. Who is this thief? This thief is the devil or Satan or the spirit of evil who comes to kill and to destroy, to use violence. And even at this time of the virus, he can use that virus to kill people. And he can encourage people to be bad behavior and not to be sensible and to spread that virus in different ways. Or he can encourage politicians to make bad decisions and policies that can kill too. And economics can kill. If we go too quickly to open up the economy, we may kill people. We've got to watch in the decisions that we make at this time. But Jesus is the opposite, and Jesus is stronger. And he says in the second half of verse 10, which is familiar to many people, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus wants us to live and to live fully. The original Greek here for life has a sense of a superabundance of life. And that is the superabundance that Jesus wants for each of us. That superabundance starts now, and we can experience it now, but it goes on beyond death into eternity. And we think of the friends that we've lost in the last couple of weeks. We think of May. We think of John. We think of Marjorie, Trevor's mum. We think of other family and friends and people we know who have died. They have entered more fully into that superabundant life. And we miss them. And we mourn them. But they are in the arms of the Good Shepherd, who has defeated death and is the gateway to life for all who trust and come to him. So the Good Shepherd is calling you, whether you're a disciple of Jesus and have followed him for many years, or whether you're just exploring what that may mean. And he is saying, come in through the gate of my love. His arms opened wide on the cross have opened the gate for us and for all people. But he has given us freedom and free will about whether we will come in through that gate. So I would say to you, come in through that gate to enjoy safety, to enjoy salvation, where he is calling you into that fullness of life, that superabundance of life which he desires for you and for me and for all people. Let us pray. Lord, we give you thanks that you are the gate, you are the gateway to fullness of life, to abundance of life, both now and on into eternity. Help us to enter into that fullness of life through you and the gate and the gateway that you open for us. Help us to walk through that gate and to enjoy the safety and the protection and the salvation which you offer to each of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're now going to move into a time of Holy Communion. If you don't want to listen to this, just press stop. If you want to celebrate communion with us, whether you have bread and wine with us or not, then please stay with us. But press the pause button now if you don't have some bread and if you don't have any wine or a liquid equivalent, and then go and get it and then come back and we'll start our service of Holy Communion. So let's just spend our moments quiet as we gather in the Lord's presence. Gather us in, the lost and the lonely, the broken and breaking, the tired and aching, who long for the nourishment found at your feast. Gather us in, the done and the doubting, the wishing and wondering, the puzzled and pondering, who long for the company found at your feast. Gather us in, the proud and pretentious, the sure and superior, the never inferior, who long for the levelling found at your feast. Gather us in, the bright and the bustling, the stirrers, the shakers, the kind laughter makers, who long for the deeper joys found at your feast. Gather us in, from corner or limelight, from mansion or campsite, from fears and obsession, from tears and depression, from untold excesses, from treasured successes, to meet, to eat, be given a seat, be joined to the vine, be offered new wine, become like the least, be found at the feast, gather us in. This is the table not of the church, but of the Lord. It is to be made ready for those who love him and want to love him more. So come if you have much faith, and if you have little, if you have been here often, and if you have not been for a long time, if you've tried to follow, and if you have failed, come. Not because it is I who invite you, it is our Lord. It is his will that those who want him should meet him here. We listen now to the story. On the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he sat at supper with his disciples. While they were eating, he took a piece of bread, said a blessing, broke it, and gave it to them with the words, "This is my body, it is for you. Do this to remember me." Later, he took a cup of wine, saying, "This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Drink from it, all of you, to remember me." So now, following Jesus' example and command, we take this bread and this wine, the ordinary things of the world, which Christ will make special. And as he said a prayer before sharing, let us do so also.
Let us pray. Gratitude, praise, hearts lifted high, voices full and joyful, these you deserve. For when we were nothing, you made us something. When we had no name and no faith and no future, you called us as your children. When we lost our way or turned away, you did not abandon us. When we came back to you, your arms opened wide in welcome. And look, you prepare a table for us, offering not just bread, not just wine, but your very self, so that we may be filled, forgiven, healed, blessed and made new again. You are worth all our pain and all our praise. So now, in gratitude, we join our voices to those of the church on earth and in heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord God, as we come to share the richness of your table, we cannot forget the rawness of the earth. We cannot take bread and forget those who are hungry. Your world is one world, and we are stewards of its nourishment. Lord, put our prosperity at the service of the poor. We cannot take wine and forget those who are thirsty, the ground and the rootless people, the earth and its weary people. They cry out for justice. Lord, put our fullness at the service of the empty. We cannot hear your words of peace and forget the world at war, or, if not at war, then preparing for it. Show us quickly, Lord, how to turn weapons into welcome signs, and the lust for power into a desire for peace. We cannot celebrate the feast of your family and forget about our divisions. We are one in spirit, but not in fact. History and hurt still dismember us. Lord, heal our church in every brokenness. Amen.
Amen. Among friends gathered round a table, Jesus took bread and broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you." So take your bread now and share it with each other. Body of Christ, broken for you.
Amen. Body of Christ, broken for you.
Amen. And later, he took the cup of wine and said, "This is the new relationship with God made possible because of my death. Take this, all of you, to remember me." Take your wine and remember that Christ's blood was shed for you, and be thankful. Blood of Christ shed for you.
Amen. Blood of Christ shed for you.
Amen. Christ, who has nourished us, is our peace. Strangers and friends, male and female, young and old, he has broken down barriers to bind us to him and to each other. Having tasted his goodness, let us share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you. And also with you. So let's share a sign of peace with each other. Peace be with you. And peace be with you out there in online as well. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you have put your life into our hands. Now we put our lives into yours. Take us, renew and remake us. What we have been is past. What we shall be through you still awaits us. Lead us on and take us with you. And now may the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and those you love this day and always. Amen.